Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for our fourth and final installment of a conversation, very provocative, very alarming conversation with Stella Morabito of The Federalist. You can find there, among other things, her recent three-part series on how freedom is inexorably crushed by communism in phases. And we've talked a bit about some of those phases, but we were just discussing what the problem now with some of the advanced information technologies, all of which it seems, at least in terms of the gigantic IT companies, are in the hands of leftists. This is now, it would seem, a device for suppressing freedom of speech, for sure, and perhaps moving us rather smartly through the other phases. You had a further thought you wanted to comment on that. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it was just about how Daniel Burstyn, in his book, The Image, Guide to Pseudo-Events in America, you know, he was so prescient. I mean, you know, he had talked about television. This was published in 1962, but he anticipated all the, he said, and what will come after. He basically anticipated social media, and I'm not saying is literally, but he expected all these technologies to just exponentially take off and create more and more of a receding of reality in the minds of Americans. The inability to have actual conversations and deliberate actual thoughts being replaced with emotional images. What's happening with social media is it's though, in order to control people, it's like what the hypnotist does. You know, you put them in a trance first. You know, you create a mental fog, which is what education has done over the past couple generations by eliminating the study of history and the humanities and anything that helps us put into context what's real and you know, our common humanity. So, you know, that's basically, you know, kind of finishes off that thought.
Critically important. And Stella, again, I think that so much of this is now second nature to us. We take the availability of Google or Gmail or Facebook or Twitter as granted as we do breathing oxygen when we, you know, are going through our day. It's not clear that very many of us understand the downside risks, and I appreciate so much your helping us think clearly about them. I did want to take some time in our last few minutes with you, Stella Morabito, to drill down on one particular entity that I've had some pretty bad experience with, I have to say, but a lot of others have as well when it comes to this sort of political warfare against people who, because they love freedom, are standing up against totalitarians of one stripe or another, those who are communists or socialists or Sharia supremacists. We are in the crosshairs as a result, a great many of us, of a group known as the Southern Poverty Law Center. And you recently wrote a piece in The Federalist about 12 ways the SPLC, as it's known, is a scam to profit from hate mongering. And I won't ask you to go through all 12 of these ways, but just give us a flavor of the role that the Southern Poverty Law Center is playing in this, well, our friend Christine Brim calls it unrestricted warfare against freedom of expression. And what can be done about it?
Well, one thing to remember about groups like that, anything totalitarian like that, as the Southern Poverty Law Center obviously is, because anybody who stands against the centralization and the consolidation of power and the abuse of power is in the SPLC's crosshairs, because they are all about the centralization of power. And what totalitarians tend to do, which the SPLC does as well, and this is true for all of the perpetrators of genocide through the 20th century as well, is they project their own intentions onto their perceived opponents. So It's all, they always project. Kind of like Google. What was the first thing they said? Their little motto, don't be evil. I mean, it's always, I don't want to say counterintuitive, but it's always an irony how they always choose terms and little slogans and memes to try to deflect your attention away from what they really intend. And so they are a hate mongering organization, and a fascist organization has to call itself anti-fascist. And that's what they do. They do it right up front. That should be the dead giveaway, just like the SPLC anti-hate. That should be the dead giveaway. I mean, aren't we all supposed to be anti-hate in a free nation where the individual is valued?
But hate and the assigning of blame for promoting it is a totalitarian technique, as you say, Stella Morvito, that it wasn't invented by the SPLC, but they certainly are practicing it with abandon at the moment. And I just wanted to get, this point across that they're doing it not just for political warfare against their opponents and for thereby furthering their efforts to achieve end states that are to their liking and frankly not going to be terribly good for the rest of us, which goes back to, what you were saying about these phases. But in addition, they're profiting from it massively. What's that about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there were a couple of really interesting pieces. I think Charlotte Allen's piece in the Weekly Standard a couple of years ago.
And Carl Zinnmeister at the Philanthropy Today.
Yeah. It's too large. I mean, they have what is called, SPLC has what people have started referring to as poverty palaces. But according to Carl Zinnmeister, who runs Philanthropy Roundtable, its two largest expenses are propaganda operations, creating its annual list of haters, so to speak, and running an effort that pushes something called tolerance education, and which is basically a programming. I think of a conditioning and programming of children to get with their program. But the other problem is they have incited real violence. I mean, the guy who tried to massacre the baseball practice of the Republican congressman back in June, Steve Scalise. I mean, he practically killed him. And then, of course, the shooting at the Family Research Center, the guy there was inspired by the hate map and so on.
You say, talk about deflection, dressed up as a poverty fighting organization. Stella, the last time I checked, they had something over $350 million stashed away. And this again, is, I guess, to the point of your piece in The Federalist, grand scam on donors and others, for that matter, in the press and among the readers of the press or listeners to the media, who are buying into this idea that actually it's purer than the driven snow and it is the authentic arbiter of hate and reliable to the exclusion of anybody else, by the way, to tell us what we can safely hear and what we can safely know and what we can safely do, or else be branded a hater, a racist, a bigot, a white supremacist, whatever. Anyway, Stella, with that parting commentary on the Southern Poverty Law Center, let me just say thank you for taking the time to work through with us this incredibly, incredibly alarming story of what happens to free people if they're not extraordinarily careful. Something that is well to be thinking about on this roughly the 100th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution and in the face of a great deal of pressure from totalitarians in our time. Thank you for the work you're doing at The Federalist, and come back to us again very soon if you would. I hope the rest of you will do the same. Tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.